you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH and around the world on kpfk.org, this is The Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles for over 52 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by my co-host and attorney specializing in automotive law, Motor Press Guild member, and an owner of not one but two Mazdas, a Miata and an RX-8, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Zoom, zoom. I am here, Mark. How you doing?
Good. Your Mazdas are still running?
Yes, they are. Very well, actually.
Is the RX-8 taking a quart of oil per gas tank full?
Ah, shoot. No.
That's just a myth. Is that a dirty myth?
It is an urban legend.
So rotary engines don't eat up oil?
No. No.
Okay. Our friend and co-host, Carl Brower, whose resume is too long to repeat here. He's not even here, so we're not going to repeat his resume. He is, somebody wrote on the script here, he is test driving camels, which is just not funny at all. He is in, Saudi Arabia with the Dakar rally. He is out in the sand right now. Let's see. Yeah, he's sleeping in a tent, right?
Yeah.
He's actually sleeping in a tent, right, Michelle?
Yes, he's embedded with Range Rover. Range Rover has a whole bunch of their race cars outfitted and are in the rally. And he is going along with the stock group and following along at every stage with the racers. So he's going to have a lot of sand in his nose and his ears, and hopefully he keeps it out of his eyes so that he can watch the race and report to us when he gets back.
Now, you've looked at a couple of the videos he's posted, right? Have you seen anything interesting?
Like I say, they kick up a ton of dust, these race cars. They come in hot. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It is in the Sahara somewhere.
And no, it's not in the Sahara.
No, it's in the
Saudi Arabian Peninsula.
Saudi Arabian Peninsula. Very good. There are camels walking around. There are lots of race cars, not just the kind that he's embedded with, all kinds of things out there. And busy. There is a mobile. you can't believe this. How they do this, I have no idea. But there's a mobile garage for each team that they break down and move to the next stage every day.
Every day.
Yeah. Wild.
They don't. So the garage doesn't stay in one spot?
No.
Every day?
No.
For a couple of days?
No. Nope. It moves. And so there's tons of support people that are required and support vehicles to move all these things and get them established.
Good. Well, Carl will tell us all about that if he ever does come back. We found out where he was last week when he wasn't here. He was playing video games and forgot. I think he has some responsibility issues. If Michelle and I were his parents, what would we do? Revoke his driving privilege or something?
We would revoke his gaming privileges instantly. Yes. Until he gets his grades up to par. Then he can get it back.
He was probably playing Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Yeah, and hopefully he has an RX-8 or an RX-7 in his garage, because my daughter built one in her Grand Theft Auto game. So
okay,
there you go.
So enough about Carl. Let's talk about calendar. They both start with a K. We get a lot of stuff from, and if you're sitting around someday and you just say you want to go and look at a car thing, look at SoCalCarCulture.com. They list all the cruise-ins, the donut runs, the beers and blazers, whatever the name of the show is anywhere in Southern California, it will be on SoCalCarCulture.com. So check that out. We've got a couple of items here coming up. Michelle, you did this first one. What's that?
Right. So tomorrow, January 11th, 7:30 to 9:30 a.m., there's Cars and Coffee at the Legacy. And this theme this month is Elvis Presley's birthday. So we want to see vintage Cadillacs at this and T-Birds and other things that Elvis drove. Also, I think it would be really fun just to see other rock and roll era cars and big bad cars. Right. Yes. From the 50s. And this is at the usual place at the mess hall on Flightway in Tustin. Very easy to find.
Where is that in the Flightway?
Oh, Tustin? It is right off of the 5. If you get off at Tustin Ranch Road. Okay. And it's between Tustin Ranch and Red Hill. So I guess if you're coming from the north, get off at Red Hill. But it's, yeah, it's off the 5 freeway.
Okay, is it part of the old Marine Corps Air Station or what?
No, it's adjacent to it. Okay, yeah, this is a whole new development called the Legacy Tustin. Oh. And yeah, there's a huge bunch of homes going in there, shopping centers. It's great. It's okay. Really nice.
Are they building more freeways to accommodate the added traffic?
No, they are not.
Okay, let's see.
Oh, Wings and Wheels, a cable airport. Did you know that there's that is a privately owned airport there in Upland, the cable airport?
Yeah. And did you know that the cafe there is called Maniac Mike's Cafe?
Yes.
Oh, you knew that? Have you been to this before?
No, but I had Thanksgiving with the owner and her husband.
Oh.
Yeah.
It says it's hosted by Maniac Mike,
uh-huh.
This event. Right. Wings and Wheels at Cable Airport, 1749 West 13th Street in Upland, California, 8 to 10 a.m. on Sunday, January 11th.
That's tomorrow.
Everybody who likes cars likes planes, so we're going to throw in a couple of planes.
Yes, this is true. And this is also true if you go up to Paso Robles. You definitely need to go to Estrella Warbirds Museum, which also has a magnificent...
Estrella.
Sorry.
Estrella.
Auto ill to
Espanol. Another continent. But Estrella means a star in Spanish or something?
Yes, it does. Along with the car museum that has racing history, tons of race cars in there. So, yeah.
And that's just open all the time.
Right? And that's Woodland Auto Display. So you can always go there if all you're right. Looking for a field trip.
We're also on Sunday. Our buddies at Supercar Sunday, we haven't mentioned them in a long time because it seems like it gets rained out a lot. But it's not going to rain on this Supercar Sunday. It is 7 to 10 a.m. at Pierce College in Woodland Hills. It is Porsche Mark Day. Now, that is not, it's just pure coincidence that they're sponsored by Porsche of Woodland Hills. Pure coincidence. Oh, mm-hmm. Please use the Victory Boulevard and Mason Street entrances for Supercar Sunday. The address, 6201 Winnetka Avenue in Woodland Hills. I think that takes you to the wrong place. So if you use the Victory Boulevard and Mason Street entrances, you will get to Lot 7 on the Pierce College campus. Always a fun time out there. This next one, we are debating whether, if we can even say the name of this event, Filthy Buggers. Now, they're talking about Volkswagen bugs, okay? So I think we can say it. Air-cooled Los Angeles Thursday night throng. There is an R in that. Do not show up on the Thursday night. Yeah,
that song.
Just don't. It's at the corner of Ventura Boulevard and Topanga Canyon Boulevard in Woodland Hills every Thursday evening, 7 p.m. You exit the 101 at Topanga Canyon Boulevard and just go south for like a block or two. And it's on the east side of that street in front of the Container Store and the FedEx store. So.
All right.
And then we have a whole bunch of regular stuff, which we read you last week. We'll just quickly go through it. Altadena Cars and Coffee every Saturday, 8 a.m. at 749 East Altadena Drive. Yeah, that's fun. A lot of nice community there. Donut Derelicts, you want to see that once before you die, maybe every week, and you'll die of cardam because it's so cool. Magnolia and Adams, Huntington Beach, 6 to 9 a.m. Early Rodders United Artists Theater, 1919 Verdugo Boulevard, 6 to 9 a.m. And every Friday from 4 to 10, Bob's Big Boy Burbank hosts the Southern California Classic Car Show. The address, 4211 West Riverside Drive in Burbank. And if you don't like Bob's Big Boy, you want ice cream, you go to Valley Cruise Night at Foster's Freeze, also every Friday night, 7 to 9 p.m., 201 South Glen Oaks Boulevard in Burbank. And we have a British event, Michelle.
Yes. Oi. How do you say when you're excited and you're a British guy? What do you say?
I've heard oi, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, if you have a British vehicle or you are a fan of British vehicles, you need to get thyself to the Peterson on Sunday, January 25th from 9 a.m. until, not sure when, 6060 Wilshire Boulevard, because they are having a British drive-in or cruise-in in the car park. I know they say
car files. That's who say, people are.
Yes, they say car park.
No, that's Boston.
Well, my Aussie guy on my my Google Maps, that's what he says.
You have an Aussie on your Google Maps, the voice?
Yes, And he says, when you're 0.2 miles, you'll reach the car park.
Okay. So there. Does he sound like, what's his name, Chris, that actor guy from Oz?
Hemsworth?
Hemsworth.
Yeah, sort of. But he sounds more like Crocodile Dundee, actually.
All right.
Yes. So get yourself there if you would like to see some, I don't know, Jaguars and Sprites and MGs, things like that. It'll be a jolly good time.
That sounds good. Sunday, January 25th. At 9 a.m., probably till 12, at the Peterson Automotive Museum at Fairfax and Wilshire. Don't forget, long-term planning here. Grand National Roadster Show, January 30th to February 1st at the Fairplex in Pomona. See rodshows.com. We have to get John Buck on. He's the current manager of that show.
Yes, blinding him up.
King of the Hammers, January 22nd to February 7th. Out of Johnson Valley, OHV Recreation Area in the Mojave Desert. It's how would you describe that? It's north of Big Bear or?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. The main event is February 7th. That's the Race of Kings, but there's stuff going on starting January 22nd. It's a happening, man. It's like Burning Man for off-roaders.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's yours, Michelle, the next one.
Yeah, down here in Irvine, Segerstrom Shelby Event Center has been off on hiatus for a bit, but the first one of the new year has been announced for Sunday, February 1st. And as usual, 7:30 to 9:30 a.m. with free donuts and free coffee. All makes and models and years are welcome. You do not need to have a Shelby or a Mustang. You can show up in a Miata if you like. The address is 5 Watney in Irvine, off the 5 freeway at Sand Canyon. And I hope I can be there. I don't think I'm traveling. I think I'm around.
Good. Enzo, Ferrari Club's Enzo Cruzin, which used to be at the Peterson, is going to be at the Autry Museum, Griffith Park, just across from the LA Zoo, Sunday, February 22nd. Start planning ahead for that. And speaking of planning ahead, racing is coming around is coming up, right, Michelle?
Yeah, there's all kinds of things to announce. I will try to get this really quick. Calendars have been released. Paris Auto Speedway is starting things off on Saturday, the 14th of February. So Valentine's Day, if you need a date, go out to Paris. They're going to have sprint cars that night. And then on the 21st of February, that's their first night of destruction. Gates open at 5 p.m.
5 p.m., yes.
We do not need people there in the morning. 5 p.m., please. And 7 p.m. is when the qualifying racing starts. You can also check out Daytona starting on February 12th, and they're going to be the initial race of the NASCAR season. So there you go.
There's also the, I'll look up the Rolex 24 at Daytona while you keep talking.
Yeah, it's February 12th, as far as I know. And then also you're going to have to check on when Formula One gets underway and IndyCar gets underway. But another thing to be aware of is this year is a big anniversary for Route 66. It turns 100. So start checking for, if you're a fan of, you know, Route 66, you might want to plan a trip or find a caravan or a group of people to go and enjoy Route 66 with. I've started to hear about things. I think even maybe the Peterson is doing one shortly. Like, it's getting underway soon. So do some research. There's a lot of fun things that I'm sure you could find concerning Route 66.
And we'll try and keep you up to date throughout the year because, as you know, Route 66 comes right through Southern California and ends at the pier in Santa Monica.
For
the Rolex 24 at Daytona dates are January 22nd to 25th. So that'll be
okay. Fun.
Good time. A good time will be had by all. And speaking of having a good time, I just got back from CES in Las Vegas and, there was a lot there. It was big. Something like 4,500 exhibitors, 140,000 attendees. And I don't think I caught the flu or anything from there. I caught it later when I got back and went to the AIM Expo Motorcycle Show in Anaheim. We'll talk about that later. But first, let's talk a little bit about CES from our automotive perspective. Last year, what?
I just said yes. Let's hear it.
Last year, the catchphrase everyone was spouting at CES was software-defined vehicles. No one really knows what they're talking about, but ultimately, in my opinion, I'm less enthusiastic about catchphrases, but I think it just boiled down to OTAs, over-the-air updates? No, that wouldn't be A.
Well, over-the-air.
So that just means that, you know, you have your car and they figure out a better way to do the software on something and they can send that update to your car automatically. So you don't have to bring it in. No one was saying software defined vehicles anymore. That was a phrase that came and went. This year's catchphrase at CES was AI, artificial intelligence. Now let's go to an objective source to try and define artificial intelligence. NASA describes it as a type of technology that helps machines and computers have thinking abilities similar to humans. NASA says devices using AI can learn words and concepts, recognize objects, see patterns, make predictions. There were a lot of robots at CES this year. Now, I know that's not a car thing, but a robot with AI could really be something. There were only two of them that I saw. No, there were three, and they were all in one little dinky booth that looked like real human beings. They were two girl robots and a guy robot. And, you know, they were, I guess, young and attractive and a little bit terrifying. And I saw, it must have been 20 years ago at some kind of future tech conference in San Francisco, separate displays. One company made the face and made the face kind of show emotion and the eyes blink and they would look at you and things like that. And the other company next to them was making robots. And the other guys were doing the voice recognition. I thought, why don't you guys all get together? Well, apparently they did. And so it's not too far off. It's not science fiction anymore. The Hyundai started off CES with a big robot display, and their robots were dancing and dancing well. I mean, better than I could, which isn't saying much. But they were quite interesting. But anyway, getting back to AI, my interpretation of it at CES was just simply. It's going to be something like when you tell your car's voice recognition program that you're hungry, your car will know that you like, say, Taco Bell and will direct you to the nearest Taco Bell instead of to the nearest McDonald's. So I know that sounds vastly oversimplified, but I think that that's the gist of what AI is going to, at least at the beginning, is going to mean for automobiles. Michelle, have you heard anything on the AI front?
As far as the vehicles?
Yeah, what it's going to mean for cars?
No, I haven't. But I do know that there was just a recall issued for, I believe it was, oh my gosh, maybe Porsche, somebody. And the over-the-air update was done and nobody has to bring their car in. So I think we're, like you say, we're past that now.
Right.
We're on to other things.
For some things, yes.
Yeah. But I wouldn't want to be in a position of telling the car, hey, turn it in, put it in reverse. That could be kind of scary, right? Because what if you say the wrong thing? And what if you are trying to give it a command and then your kid starts screaming? Is it going to miss the command and then you miss your turn or whatever? You know?
Yes, so, it is possible.
So having commands in the car might sound great, but there's probably a lot of buffering it would have to do to get rid of background noise and just focus on who is the person in charge of the vehicle.
Before CES, it was information that was embargoed until CES. So it's on the page at autoweek.com. You can read it. Was Mercedes introduced something called MB.Drive Assist Pro. It's going to be on the CLA, which is a nice little compact sedan that Mercedes sells, all electric. It's the CLA with EQ technology, which is just another way of saying electric car.
Yeah.
And it is not quite level 3. They were calling it level 2++. It's $3,950 option, and it can do point-to-point driving. All you have to do is you have one hand on the steering wheel. You don't have to actually turn the steering wheel because that's all done. The braking, the accelerating, and the steering is done by this the Drive Assist Pro, which you could just say is DAP. Level 2++, like I said. So it's all but full self-driving, as Tesla might say. Now, this is not quite the same as the Mercedes Drive Pilot Level 3 that came out a few years ago, which in certain limited situations does everything for you. You do not have to keep your eyes on the road nor your hands upon the wheel. In that case, Mercedes Drive Pilot Level 3 is only available in certain areas where they have mapped the heck out of the freeways, and it only works in stop-and-go traffic. This is different. This will go through cities. Just all you have to do is say where you want to go, and it'll do the driving for you. You know, like what was that? Was that Greyhound would say, "Leave the driving to us."
That's it.
I'm dating myself because no one else will date me. So I got a ride in this MB Drive Assist Pro, which was embargoed until CES. So we are now off embargo, and I can tell you about it. It had 30 different sensors in the car, 5 radar sensors, 10 cameras, and 12 ultrasonic sensors. And all of them were pouring data into an extremely powerful onboard supercomputer, which Mercedes says is capable of 508 TOP. Do you know what TOP stands for? Because I looked it up. I know.
Mm-mm.
What is trillions of operations per second.
Oh, my goodness.
And so they're quite confident that kind of stuff is the future. And it did work on my drive, but I will say, as I said in my article, you know, it's not going to be able to look at the guy driving across from you and seeing, you know, our human experience tells us whether that guy is stoned out of his mind or not, or looking at a cell phone or arguing or just doing something that's distracting him or her from driving. And our human intelligence can say that. So I think we still bring something to the party, as they say, as human beings.
Yeah.
This whole crazy mess.
You've driven in a Waymo or you have been driven in a Waymo.
Yeah.
So.
And that was a little bit terrifying at first.
Yeah.
But they had Zooks is another company, Zoox.
Yeah.
That is doing kind of the same thing. They have those toaster-like vehicles.
They're really cute. Yeah, in Vegas. They have them going up and down the strip, right?
Yeah, they have 50 of them in Las Vegas and San Francisco, and they're going to come to Austin and Miami and who knows where else. But most of them are in Las Vegas. And there was the week of CES, there was a viral video of one of the Zoox cars sitting forlorn in a very busy intersection while cars zoomed around it. Can you imagine being in that thing? So it ain't perfect yet. It ain't perfect. So
none of them are. This is emerging technology. We are the guinea pigs.
We are. So, but at CES, I saw a whole bunch of interesting stuff. I'll just quickly tell you some of my favorite here. These are a few of my favorite things, like Oprah says, who actually wrote that song? These are a few of my favorite things.
Well, it was in the movie, The Sound of Music.
Okay. It was?
Yes. So it was it was a Disney, someone with Disney wrote it.
All right. The main thing at CES, in my opinion, the biggest news was that a company called Donut Lab says, yeah, we've got the solid state battery. It's here. And they're putting it in the Verge motorcycle, which is that very interesting Finnish, the country of Finland, motorcycle that has no rear hub. It's an electric motorcycle with a hub motor that has, you know, no requirement to have spokes or a central hub. So it's hubless. They say that it is ready and that it's coming in this Verge electric motorcycle. So, and in other things from skateboards to cars, you know, it was all kind of a little bit vague. And I don't know, they seemed very confident. I talked to one guy at Donut Lab for quite a while, and he did not seem to hesitate at all. He was quite confident that it is scalable and ready to go. So maybe the solid state battery is here. I don't know. I would want to go with more than just the word of one guy saying that. But
and okay. Did you see it sitting there on
a display? I saw a box, you know, a little thing. And they said, yes, this is it. And so, I mean,
what were the dimensions of it, roughly?
It was about the size of a briefcase, the one that they showed there. And I think that might have been because that might have been the one that was going in the Verge motorcycle. But
Okay. All right. Well, we will see. Maybe they'll show up at the Electrify Expo next year with something else on that subject.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of things happen at CES and then everybody gets excited and you never hear anything. But let's hope. Let's hope. Let's not discount these guys because the future's coming. A couple of quick things that I saw there that I kind of like. Great Wall Motors is one of the top 10 car manufacturers. Well, actually, they make SUVs and trucks for the Chinese market and for other markets. But they make over 1 million of those a year. They showed a really cool flat 8 powered motorcycle. So the Honda Goldwing has a flat 6. You know, Porsches have flat 6 air-cooled internal combustion engines. Subarus have flat 4s. This is a flat 8 powered motorcycle. It was really cool. It makes 152 horsepower, weighs 926 pounds. I asked the CEO, will it come to the US? And he says, we have the plan, but maybe later. There's a lot going on international park.
Yeah. We have there concepts of a plan.
There was a very cool looking speedster, 4 wheels, electric, aluminum chassis.
Wow.
Called the Longbow Speedster. It was it looks really, really cool. And you know, it's supposed to get, let's see, it weighs 1,984 pounds, which is very good for an electric anything. Has 300 horsepower with hub mounted motors, electric motors. 0 to 62 miles per hour in 3.5 seconds. The battery is an H-shaped battery that, you know, is very low on the floor. The CEO told me that it has, well, he didn't say ground hugging, but he might as well have. So it has a low center of gravity and a favorable center of inertia. He says that the Speedster is coming first to the UK. They're going to make 150 of those. And after that, they're going to make a Roadster that will come to the United States. Their plan, I think he said 2027 for that. We'll see. Their plan is to be producing 10,000 of these things a year by 2030. Right now, if you live in the UK, you can order one of these speedsters for $115,000 and no pricing on the Roadster yet. I want to, let's see, what else do we have from CES really quickly? Oh yeah, Gentex is a huge supplier for the auto industry. They make mostly like those cool new rear view mirrors and sensors and screens and things. They have incorporated thermal imaging. Now, other companies have done that before. Of course, BMW, Cadillac did it. But these guys have a thermal imaging sensors that display on a screen, front and back. You know, one shooting out the back, one shooting out the front. The rear one incorporates the imagery into the rear view mirror, and the front mounted one, it goes into a screen on the dash. But the cool thing, the difference is that Gentex rep that I spoke to said that software could detect animal outlines. So all those deer that we've been hitting, hopefully when it detects that, there'll be a little warning and the driver can, avoid hitting deer. I thought that was kind
of
cool.
That would be cool. Thing of the past, hopefully.
Thing of the past. Technology is your buddy. Let's see what else we got. There were a couple of rideable suitcases go around the airport.
Oh, yeah.
On your little electric scooter. You sit on the thing and you ride through the airport. It's a good idea, but I'd be too embarrassed to do it.
I've seen kids doing it.
Yeah, for kids, it makes sense. So if you have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could work. But okay, so that's my quick, in a nutshell, CES report.
All right.
Michelle.
So next up, we have 2026 World Car of the Year finalists to share. And okay, so there were 58 contenders for this, and they have narrowed it down to 10 finalists. They are in no particular order, by the way, of where they're ranked is okay. I think they're in alphabetical
order. It's alphabetical order. So
yes, it's alphabetical. I'm just noticing that. Thank you. Audi Q5/SQ5, which is their SUV. BMW iX3, another SUV. The BYD Seal 6 DMI. I'm assuming that's an SUV or an electric vehicle from China.
BYD is a Chinese company, yes.
Okay. Then Hyundai's IONIQ 9 and their Palisade, both of them. And two Kias, Kia EV4 and Kia EV5. Followed by Mercedes-Benz CLA, Nissan Leaf, Toyota RAV4. And so one of those will be selected as World Car of the Year. I do not have a date for the announcement, but we'll bring it to you when it's announced.
So 8 of the 10 are electric vehicles.
Yeah, I see that. Does that tell? Right?
We should wake Carl in Saudi and tell him.
Yes, we should. And then
but we have some other car.
Yes. Right? See, this is, it's not only movie awards season, it's car awards season also. All right. So Top Gear, the guys from the UK, they came out with their US car awards for 2026. And they announced that the US car of the year that they selected is the Dodge Charger 6-pack. Applause.
The Dodge Charger.
2 years old, I think. All right. And then the other finalists were the Kia K4, which I just reviewed, Tesla Model 3 Performance, which no one has reviewed because they don't have press review cars, and the Hyundai Elantra N, which I know you and Carl have reviewed.
Yeah.
So these are older vehicles.
I don't know why
their list is a little more current.
2026, it's like they just sort of like, hey, what's going on in the U.S.? Don't they sell cars there? Yes. Come up with a list of car of the year. Doesn't sound.
Either that or the American manufacturers just didn't want to give them any cars. And so they were stuck with whatever they got. We could speculate till the end of time.
Yeah.
All right. Now, there's other news to share from Stellantis. Just recently found out that they have decided to discontinue their lineup of plug-in hybrids. And these are going to affect Jeep and Chrysler vehicles in North America. I don't know about where other places. However, their plan for North America is just to focus on EVs, regular hybrids, and range extended vehicles. So the ones that they are not going to be selling after next year are, or sorry, 2026, this year already, Gladiator, Wrangler, and Grand Cherokee, which is the 4XE model, is their plug-in hybrid on the Cherokee. And they're going to discontinue that Chrysler Pacifica PHEV and the Dodge Hornet that was a plug-in.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, no surprise. I mean, they have to. Yep. No surprise. Nobody was buying those. And, you know, they're running out of money and they're running out of time. So they got to stick with what works.
Yeah. Stellantis is on the short list of the Peanut Gallery cars that won't be around in 10 years list.
It's always been on that list, though.
Yeah, so there you go. Don't forget, they had to have a corporate bailout in the 80s. So,
or
right?
To Chrysler.
Yeah, for Chrysler. Yes, there you go. Too big to fail.
Yeah, and when I said not the Ford, the company, Ford, the president, when he told the city of New York, you know, you're not getting bailed out. Okay, bad reference.
All right.
Okay. And Michelle, do you want to do your Detroit report?
Yes. All right. So I was in Detroit and I have to bring news of a new museum that had a lot of cars in it that I got to visit this time. It's in Lansing, Michigan, which is, did you know, Detroit is not the capital of Michigan. It is Lansing. Yeah. Lansing is the capital. And so near the Capitol itself is the Michigan Historical Museum. It's right near the campus of Michigan State University. Well, that's the Wolverines, the guys who are in green and yellow, not the guys in blue and yellow. Those are the University of Michigan. What are they called? The Bears, I think. No.
No, the Wolverines.
No,
wait,
the Wolverines.
Who?
And then the Michigan.
U of M is the Wolverines.
Okay.
So Lansing is the Spartans. Michigan
the Spartans, Spartans. That's it.
And
all right.
Central Michigan University is the Chips. Up Chips.
Good. All right. You know better than me. So in Spartanville is the Michigan Historical Museum. So they go through, since the history of Michigan is so intertwined with car history. They start off actually with Flint, Michigan, which is where the Dodge brothers started their car company. And did you know it was originally called Flint Cars before it was called Dodge?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they had an example of a Flint, and it was, you know, just a beautiful vehicle. They had a showroom, example type showroom from the turn of the century. And then as you walk up there, there's actually an old Oldsmobile from the turn of the century. I think they only built this particular model between 1901 and 1904. Then there's, of course, a whole room on Ford and the assembly lines and the Model Ts. And then they, in another room is the dawn of the, how the Detroit Auto Show was so important in not just the development of, you know, the marketing of vehicles, but in the history of Michigan. And as we know, in fact, the Detroit Auto Show is going on, I think, right now or this month. And it's nothing like it used to be, but they had a camera showing some actual footage from the Detroit Auto Show in the 50s. And they've got a Plymouth Fury mounted up on the wall. They have a Corvette in there from, I think, 58. It's very, very good as far as
if you're ever in Lansing, listeners, I know we're in Southern California, but, you know, Michelle saw this and what the heck, share it with the listeners, Lansing, Michigan, the Michigan Historical Museum.
Yes.
So, all right. Thank you, Michelle, for that update, that report. I've got one more report. It was a busy week for me. I went to the AIM Expo in Anaheim. In fact, I think I got a cold while walking through there. It was motorcycles, and it was a B2B, business to business. type show. I saw a guy down there who was, he couldn't believe it. He thought it was like a public show. And he said they wanted $400 to get in. So it's B2B. It's these are all people who are writing this off. AIM Expo in Anaheim. It was pretty interesting. There were most of the manufacturers are there. I mean, it's where you meet with your dealers and you figure out large, long-term plans. There are guys making motorcycle parts, aftermarket parts, trying to get motorcycle shop owners interested in selling those things. The big news that I got out of it is that Norton, remember the Norton motorcycle? That is coming back. And I know they have been saying that for a long time, but they are, in fact, going to be back in the U.S. market. It's on sale in England now, of course. In the in Q4 of this year is when they're planning to launch their new motorcycles. They're going to start out with two models. One is a road bike called the Manx, and the Manx R. The first one will be called the First Edition, and it will. There's no pricing yet. They're going to release pricing in about February, they say. But the Manx R is a competitor to the Honda S1000R, the Ducati Panigale, bikes like that. I saw it. It looks very very neat design. So many motorcycles now have a outside exterior design that's all angular and sharp and, you know, kind of just saying a lot in the shapes and the surfaces. This one is a lot more subdued and very smooth on the outside. There's no screws evident or clasps or anything. I said, well, how do you service it? Oh, we have ways to get in there. Don't worry about it.
So, okay.
Norton, of course, as you know, was taken over by an Indian company called TVS. That's TVS, Tango Victor. What is S? I guess you don't need a letter for that. they're going to bring this back. And they also had, what do you call it? An adventure bike called the Atlas. And that's got an upright parallel too, just under 600 cc's, very small displacement. They see a lot of growth in the smaller displacement market, you know, not the big bore bruiser bike. They see growth there in the smaller section. So that was kind of the big news that I got out of that. We'll have more about that. Hopefully we'll be able to ride one of those and tell you. And Norton was a big name in motorcycles back up until, I think, when did they go bankrupt? I think it was the 70s or something, a long time ago. But before that, they were considered really cool. The Norton 800 was a cool bike, and they're still much sought after by collectors, as they say. So,
did you see the Pro Italia guys there?
I couldn't find them. I don't know where they were.
Oh,
they were supposed to be there, and I didn't see them at all, which is
darn
unfortunate. But I did see Niu. N-I-U, new maybe. They have sold, it's a Chinese manufacturer of electric motorcycles. They have sold 4.6 million worldwide so far, and they have more than 20 million miles on their fleet of motorcycles that they sell in 52 countries. And they were there in a big way. They had a lot of bikes. Did you know that Niu is listed on the NASDAQ? NASDAQ. So, you know, they're a big deal, but they are coming in to the U.S. They have a lot of different motorcycles, a lot of dirt bikes. There were a lot of Chinese-made dirt bikes and e-bikes, and the next step up from the e-bike, which is, you know, motorcycle. Niu was very proud of the fact that their motorcycles have VIN numbers on them. I guess not all of these Chinese manufacturers actually put a VIN number on it. They just put a serial number. So they have a very wide variety of motorcycles. That was Niu, N-I-U. So check those out. Those a bike from them could cost, you know, anywhere up to under $6,000.
Really? Wow.
You can start out, let's see, the XQi 400 is $4,399. So, but they look quite competent, nice design. Hmm. I would like to ride one sometime. We'll see.
Yeah, we need you to test ride.
Yeah, maybe.
And let us know.
J.D. Power was there. J.D. Power will tell you what your used motorcycle is worth. Go to jdpower.com. Check that out. The one thing I saw, canine moto cockpit. You put it on the back of your motorcycle where the top case would be.
Yeah.
You can put a dog in it.
Awesome.
They had a dog there, and the dog very happily climbed up and sat down very dutifully.
Yeah.
That is put on by a couple, Greg Stone and Jess Stone, and they are in between making these little dog-type carrying racks. The system is called K9 Moto Cockpit, as I said. They've sold 650 of them in the world so far. And they are traveling the world. They have already done on motorcycles. They've done South America, North America. They're going to do Africa next. Very interesting couple.
Hmm. If you ever have been in San Diego and seen the Harley dog, he rides. He has his own goggles. And I was thinking.
Yeah, this guy had goggles too.
Yeah, you got to have your doggy goggles if you're going to put your pooch back there, because, you know, their poor eyes will get just ruined with the wind.
Yeah. And one other thing I saw was a thing called a moto trainer, which you put your motorcycle on this rack. And then there's a screen in front of you that shows the track that you're going on, and you lean left and you lean right.
Like an emulator for your bike.
Trainer thing. Moto Trainer is the name of that.
Wow.
And that costs $18,990. Made in Italy, right next to Mugello. So motorbikesimulator.com. Check that out.
There you go.
Let's see. We're going to skip this thing, and we're going to go all the way down to reviews, because we're running out of time here. And we're going to start our review section with Michelle.
Right. So I had the 2026 Honda Passport. This is their two-row SUV. It is in its fourth generation. And I had the RTL trim. There were some items changed between 2025 and 2026 on a refresh. And one of the things that they did with the Passport was come out with the Trail Sport, which I do believe, Mark, that you had one of them at some point.
Yeah, I was on that press trip when it launched.
There you go. So you've already reviewed that one and talked about how capable it is versus the one that I had, which is the one that you don't take off-road. And this is the one for, you know, your city driving and you're staying on regular roads. And so this one's the RTL trim. And for 2026, they really only have three trim levels. This RTL that I had, the regular Trail Sport, and then a Trail Sport Elite. And you can get into this RTL, which is the base trim, as tested, was $45,000. It is made in Alabama, and I'm talking the chassis and the engine and the transmission, all made in Alabama.
So there's no tariffs on it?
None at all. It's got a 3.5-liter dual overhead cam with 285 horsepower and 262 pound-feet of torque. The big thing with this vehicle is the cargo space in the back. It's unreal. So when you have the two rear seats up, you're getting 44 cubic feet, which is already a lot, but it doubles when you put the seats down. I used it for transporting my bunny back and forth from the rescue. I had to get a new rescue when I had this vehicle. Actually, I had to get two bunnies. And I had to get them and take them back. So I was glad to have all that room in the back. Plus all their junk, right? Because they have to have hay and they have to have their food and their litter boxes and all that stuff. So I was glad that the week that I had the Passport that I was transporting bunnies. I drove it 148 miles. I got average 19.8 MPGs. This thing has decent handling. I felt like it had a decent turning radius for how big it is. It rides really high on the road. If there was any takeaway that I could say based on the other, you know, Turo SUVs I've driven recently, that it just rides really high. And it feels like almost like a truck, but it's only on 18-inch wheels. So I wasn't
these
sure.
People like that, don't they? They like sitting up high. That's
absolutely
one of the appeals of
SUV. Sure. It feels very commanding, right? And right. And you feel like you can see, it's got good visibility around you. It has eco drive mode. I felt that it was exceedingly weak in eco. I don't recommend driving in that. It was fine and normal. The other drive modes are sport, snow, and sand. What they didn't have, which I wanted with the bunnies, was comfort mode, because they get freaked out in cars and they don't have comfort mode. Oh, and another thing is it's not a CVT transmission. And from 2025 to 2026, they booted it up from a 9-speed to a 10-speed transmission. So, and they gave you more horsepower. I guess it's 5 more horsepower over last year's model. I thought it was okay on the road noise. You know, a lot of SUVs, especially when they're high like that, you're going to hear a lot. I didn't think it was horrible, but it wasn't, it's not like a luxury car. Okay. So if you're needing it to be super quiet inside, this is not going to work for you. Now on the Trail Sport you had, you'll get into that for, the low 50s, looks like 53 to 54. And so those are the other two trim levels. Like I say, as tested, mine was in the 45s and, I liked it. I mean, it's a great car. It's also, I just found out it got the top safety rating from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, IIHS, and that is called Top Safety Pick Plus. And this is because of their crash testing. They consider crashworthiness and the pedestrian front crash warning system and headlight performance, interestingly enough. Headlights are very important to them. Yeah, and it has the Honda Sensing Safety Driver Assist package. And I guess they also were very impressed at the IIHS with the enhanced rear seat belts for 2026.
Okay.
Not sure what they did, but that was impressive to the people that were testing the Passport. All right. So that's pretty much all my comments.
It has a stiffer chassis, a beefed up suspension, fresh styling and tech inside.
This is according
to Car and Driver.
Yes. The front end actually was redesigned. So there's a new grill. They wanted to make it look more aggressive. So they redesigned the whole front end.
Okay. Now, while we should applaud them for not having a CVT, that 10 speed automatic, so many gears that when you step on the throttle, it might take a while. And it's not just this vehicle. It's any 10 speed or even an 8-speed. It takes a while to downshift. So I don't know.
It did have
that. And again, that's not a Honda problem. That's just endemic problem.
I used their paddle shifters. It actually had paddles.
And?
I liked it. It worked. See, I could put it in manual and I didn't have to wait for it to kick in or to downshift. I could do it.
All right. And it's pretty big. It's pretty big. You know, it's bigger than a CRV, obviously, but it's smaller than a, what is the three-row thing that Honda has?
Oh, the Pilot.
That's right, the Pilot. Yeah, the larger three-row. So that sounds like it's kind of right-sized, and it did well in bunny transport. So
yes, and the only thing I would really like to see on it is it didn't have a front camera, and maybe it does on the Trail Sport or the Trail Sport Elite.
Okay.
But I really wanted a front camera. If I'm going to be up that high,
right.
I want to see what's going on in front of me while I'm parking the car. So,
All right. Thank you for that report, Michelle, all the way from Detroit. And we're going to wrap this up with my report. I drove, there's all this talk about the Chinese are taking over. And, the better way to look at that might be the world is becoming a global market. And so, part of that global market is the high number of Chinese vehicles that are obviously manufactured in China. And I got to drive several Geely Chinese cars. That's G-E-E-L-Y. We often say Geely, But as near as I can tell, the proper pronunciation is Geely. That is one of the largest car manufacturers in the world. And they took us out to Las Vegas International Speedway, Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Yes.
LVMS. Mm-hmm. And we did the road course that is outside of that. They also have a really good road course on the infield there at LVMS. We're on the big road course on the outside, which is also a lot of fun. Really great track to drive. But all of the cars that they offered us were, basically crossover utility vehicles. So it's, a racetrack is not, perhaps not the best way to evaluate these things. So I'm not really complaining, but it's always cool to drive anybody's car that they want to show me. But so we drove a whole bunch of these. Now Geely has, it's like the top, it's like General Motors. Geely is sort of like General Motors. It has a bunch of brands under it. So Geely owns Volvo, Zeekr, and a company called Link and Company. That's LYNK ampersand CO period. And when they were saying it at first, I thought they were talking about Lincoln. Why are they talking about Lincoln? No, it's Link and Company. Okay. I got you. So we got to drive a number of these, including the Zeekr 7X, the Zeekr 001, the Zeekr X, and the Zeekr 9X. And we got to drive the Link and Company 900, the Link and Company 08, and the Link and Company 09, as well as the Geely EX5, the EX5M, and the Geely Starray. So it was quite a good exposure to a large number of cars that, made in China. And these particular cars that we drove they had a Mexican license plates on them. And they invited a number of our colleagues from Mexico to come up on this same trip to drive these things. So the cars are available for sale in Mexico, but not here in the U.S. I think that if you want global trade and global everything, you should just allow, a number of cars, as long as they meet safety standards and emission standards or whatever standards we want to set. I think it would be good. It's good for the consumer. So many things are sort of a protectionist thing. Of those, my favorite was the Zeekr 001, which was just had a ton of power and launched around that track. It was very smooth. The fit and finish of all these cars was not a problem. In a lot of ways, there are a lot of better electronics on board. So it was promising. And, they were better than the first Korean cars to come into the United States. And if anybody was around when the first Japanese cars came into the States.
Yeah.
So that's the upshot from this. We are out of time here on the car show. Michelle, what is our social media handle?
We can be found on Facebook at The Car Show on KPFK 90.7 FM. So give us a like and a follow there on Facebook.
Stick around for Rhapsody in Black, music that sounds great on your car stereo where you might be listening to this. And come back next week where we will see you on The Car Show.
Coming up this week on LA Theater Works.
Two authors share a tumultuous May-December romance.
I think you want me to play the understanding older woman who's never possessed him and never trouble and never makes a scene? Forget it!
Elaine Stritch stars as Lillian Hellman in Peter Fiebelman's Cakewalk with Bruce Davison next time on LA Theater Works.
That's this Sunday evening from 10 p.m. until midnight. LA Theater Works right here on KPFK.
It's one thing to love public radio, but it's a special thing to support it. Consider this. If you've got a car you don't need anymore, or you've got one that is simply too expensive to repair, arrange to donate it to KPFK. It's easy for you, pickup is free, and it could be worth hundreds of dollars in support. Thanks in advance, and here is how to get started. Go to kpfk.org/cars or call 877 877- 1-877-573-5288. That is 1-877-KPFK-AUTO. And learn more.